Welcome to this podcast that you can find at troybrewer.com. And I'm so grateful, man, that everybody signed up for this and all the people that are listening all over the world. I bless you. This is Troy Brewer from Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. And I call you blessed, blessed, blessed. Guys, I am actually recording this on the 12th of November. I'm getting ready to leave here in just a few minutes. I'm going to be going out to the Dallas area, and I'm going to be hanging out with all my prophetic friends from all over the world out at Cindy Jacobs Prophetic Summit. And if you are going to be within the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I encourage you guys to come out as all these prophetic people living this prophetic life from all over the world are going to be gathering together and be a part of that. Simply go to Cindy Jacobs Ministry and check that out. Or you can go to my Facebook page on Saturday and see my portion of it. But I believe that Cindy's going to actually offer the entire conference free on Facebook. And I believe it's her Facebook page. So just look it up, do a little bit of research and look it all up. And I'm sorry that I don't have that information for you, but it's okay. I'm just came in here raw. I just got out of my car. I came running in here. I wasn't in here 10 seconds and told Brother Mason here in the booth, I want you just to turn it on. I want to do this podcast because I got some important things to talk to you about. And we're about to get off into this. So I want to, again, one more time to remind you that I will be at the Prophetic Summit, and it's called the Global Prophetic Summit. And I'm going to be there Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. And then for everybody that lives here in Dallas-Fort Worth, I'm going to be at the big country music dance-off fundraiser for Answer International in Glen Rose, Texas on Saturday night. And it's called Two Step to Freedom is what that's called too. Lots of stuff going on this week, but lots of stuff going every week. I know I'm hard to keep up with, but I'm hard to keep up with. So it's all good. It really is good. For everybody that's listening on the Friday broadcast podcast, I want to welcome all my friends all over the world that are listening on the radio and call you guys blessed and just say welcome, welcome. Okay, friends, I'm going to jump off into this and talk to you about the election and talk to you about prophetically speaking and talk to you about where we're at in the kingdom and what do we do. I want to just say humbly before I get off into this that my goodness, it is so hard not to be tossed back and forth. And I know the trouble that you're having right now. I'm very aware of it. And talking to my friends all over the world and talking to a handful of the thousands of people that are a part of Open Door Church and talking to my prophetic friends all over the world, what's real is we woke up 2 days, or I should say 3 days after the election, to a terrifying demonstration of evil in our nation that the media has ignored, that the governments of the world have ignored, that everybody's like, there's nothing they can do about it. It's just too bad. Ha ha. They're all totally irrelevant. And there's nothing that anybody can do about it. We're going to go about as with business as usual. And I can tell you that there is a divine interruption coming to this. I believe that with all of my heart. I really and truly do. And to tell you that in the face of such evil and in the face, it's a lot like 9/11. After 9/11, after we saw it, everybody just stood there with their hands over their mouth going, oh my, we've never seen anything like this before. And while we have seen this on some scale before, we've never seen it so blatant, we've never seen it so open, and we've never seen such an opposite word, we've never seen the flamboyant agenda of the enemy in the media like what we've seen this time. This is a new level. And I want to just encourage you and give you a word and show you what the Bible says concerning a tremendous demonstration of an act of terror and a level up of the enemy in the midst of a campaign of momentum, in the midst of a godly agenda of moving forward, in the midst of seeing miracles, and all of a sudden you get stopped. The biblical example that I want to give you today, guys, is in 2 Kings chapter 3. And in 2 Kings chapter 3, there's this amazing story that you can just look over because it's got all kinds of cool stuff in it. And then there's one verse that's weird, and then you just go right into the next chapter, and it's very easy to dismiss it. There's a lot of stories in the Bible that are like this, just like Rizpah. I just recently preached at the women's convention here. We had over 1,300 women here, and oh man, this incredible estrogen fest was going on. And up there in the midst of that, I showed everybody the story of Rizpah and how that she would not abandon her post in the midst of obvious defeat. She's like, well, I'm still who I am. I'm still called who I'm called to be. I'm still going to bring honor to my children. And I will not give up. I will not give up. And it ended up with her children being counted as royalty. And because of her incredible faithfulness in the midst of a lonely, tragic, horrible place that had nothing to do with her, it had nothing to do with her kids, it had everything to do with the political agenda, and she found herself right there in the midst of that mess, and she still remained true to her post. And I was teaching on that, and then right on the heels of that, I go into this other very obscure verse that is mostly just passed up. I mean, again, it's so easy to pass it up, and it's the last verse of 2 Kings chapter 3. Now, in context of this last verse that I'm about to give you, I'm going to tell you that it's a story of Elisha, and it's a story of the political, I should just say the geopolitics that was going on at the time. And as you know, Ahab and Jezebel are now gone, and now their son is risen up as king. And when he first started, it looked like he was going to get rid of Baal worship. It looked like he was going to get rid of all that. He removed the sacred stone of Baal that his daddy Ahab had set up. But then he let it go on with business as usual. And so he kind of had a political stunt in moving the sacred stone and getting that out. And everybody's like, yay, okay, this is going to be great. But privately, he still let the abortion god, the child sacrifice god of Baal to persist and engage and let the people engage in that kind of terrible endeavor. And then what happened was Moab, who also worshipped Baal, decided not to pay taxes, decided not to be a part of the kingdom anymore, decided to cause a confederacy and rebel and not be a part of any of that. And so now they're going to have to decide, are we going to let them get away with this, or are we going to confront them and say, no, you're going to get with the program? Otherwise, there will be tremendous instability in the entire empire. And he went to Judah and said to the king there, hey, are you going to join me? And he said, yes, I'm going to join you. I'm not going to go to war against you. I will join you, and I will go to war against Moab. And they get ready to go to war, and they meet out in the midst of the desert. And 7 days into it, there is no water. The troops are about to die. All of their animals are dying, and they don't know what to do. So they decide in that place of panic, they decide we'd better consult a prophet. So they ask for Elijah, and Elijah, his first response to him is, I don't want anything to do with y'all. Now, this is the house of Ahab that had plagued Elisha and Elijah. And his retort back to them is funny to me. He said, why don't you go to the prophets of your fathers? Meaning, where's all the prophets of Baal? Where's all this wise spiritual counsel and power in the midst of your demonic worship and your agenda to kill babies? Where is all that? And, you know, of course, they're like, no, you have to help us. And so he said, because I'm loyal to the other king, not because of you, I'll go ahead and I'll jump in your sandbox, and this is the word of the Lord. And then Elijah gives them a sure word of the Lord. This is what he says. He says, you know what? Water's going to come. You're not even going to see it rain. Water's going to show up and it's going to flood the valley and you're going to be okay water-wise. Then you're going to go from city to city in Moab. You will utterly destroy the enemy. You will win every single battle. You will overturn their economy. You'll mess up their fields. You will destroy their harvest. You're going to teach them a lesson and you're going to put them on the back burner for years and years and years to come, and it's not going to be your issue anymore. Go get them. So off they go. And first bull out of the chute, as we say here in Johnson County, is water shows up, a flash flood of some kind of supernatural flash flood shows up. They didn't see it rain, but water comes flowing into the valley like it does in that part of the world. They are refreshed. Their troops are revitalized. Their animals are healthy, and they go off into war. They begin to take those cities one by one, defeating every single one of them. And then at one point, the king of Moab, in a last-ditch futile effort, he gets his mighty men, and he attacks. And in this terrible attack, he is defeated, and he has to run back behind the last walled city and fortification of Moab. So they surround it, and they're like, okay, this is it. The word of God is true. It's happened the way that it's supposed to happen. All we got to do now is finish. That's all we got to do. So while they're about to lay siege to this city, probably while they are laying siege to the city, the king of Moab comes out onto the wall of the city in broad daylight in front of the entire army of Israel. And he stands up and he levels up in a horrible display of terrifying evil. And he says, okay, you guys think that you're going to be able to finish this. I say you're not going to be able to finish this, and I'm going to level up. I'm going to be in open, broad daylight, and I'm going to show you something horrifying. And he takes his firstborn son, who is the heir to his throne, and he offers him up to Baal as a burning sacrifice. He sets his boy on fire. And while the troops are looking, this young man is screaming and hollering and pleading and begging and burning alive. And then he dies. And then the Bible says in the very last verse of 2 Kings chapter 3 that there was a fierce wrath. And that term fierce wrath comes actually from a term of the Moabite god, which is something like Chenosh. And it literally has to do with the warfare part of Baal. That literally the momentum turn, the demonic forces of Baal, the wrath of the demonic forces of Baal came upon Israel. And the Bible says that Israel was so demoralized and so intimidated that they turned around and went home and they didn't finish. Then we go into 2 Kings chapter 4. Now, again, it's very easy to just kind of dismiss that last verse because it's not real definitive. There's not a lot written about it. It's just one sentence. It's actually two sentences. And the last sentence says they went home. And if you just read over that, you would think that they won, but they didn't win. They lost and they did not finish. Now, what happened? What happened was the enemy leveled up, and the enemy leveled up in such a horrifying way, watching somebody burn to death and watching the confusing understanding of a Moabite king burning his own child to death. They didn't know how to process that. And they were like, whoa. And they forgot the miracles that God had done. They forgot the momentum. And they forgot the sure word of God that had come to them through the prophet. Now, friends, I want to tell you, anytime that there's Baal worship, there's always a Jezebel spirit involved in it. And anytime there's a Jezebel or there's a Baal worship that's going on, it's one of its main jobs is to destroy the word of the prophets. That's one of its main works that it does, is it produces its own prophetic word or its own media, and it tells everybody to believe it and says, I'm going to do something so terrible that you can't even remember what God has said and you don't even care what God has said. And then you turn around and you go home. Well, that is exactly what happened to the Israelites thousands of years ago, and that's exactly what's happening to America right now. Friends, way back in 2007, Kim Clement prophesied that Trump was going to be the president of the United States and that he would enter into the presidency, not as a praying man, but that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and he would be a praying man, and that he would be for the church, he would be for the kingdom, he would be for Israel, and he would begin to upturn the demonic agenda within Washington, D.C. And he said he'll win two terms. That's what he said. Okay, that was in 2007, okay? And again, President Trump did not become the president until 2016. In 2015, moving into 2016, we were seeking the Lord concerning who's going to be the next president of the United States, and it came out among our own prophetic council, Trump will be the next president. And remember, even at 10 o'clock at night on election night, they said there's no way that Trump could ever be president. And we were saying it 10 months ahead of time, actually 11 months ahead of time. And like, nope, that's what God says. And so when I went before the Lord and I got quiet and I sought God and said, God, what are you saying? This is what God told me. God told me in a clear, definitive word, Troy, Trump is going to win the first term. Trump is going to win the second term, but pray that he finishes. And so for the past 5 years, we've been praying that he finishes. Now, we've had all kinds of speculation as to what that could mean. Maybe it means that somebody's going to try and assassinate him. Maybe it means that they're going to try and impeach him. Maybe it means that they're going to overturn his presidency halfway through or whatever. I think it's very clear now what it means. And friends, what has happened since November the 3rd has been a terrifying demonstration of evil and a level up of the prophets of Baal, which in this case, that is representative of the media, and the evil forces within the government, the opposing king of Moab, or in this case, the Biden camp. And there's been a level up where everybody's shaking their head and go, okay, you know what? We don't know what to do with this. We don't know how to process this. And here's what I have to tell you today. Do not pack up your bags and go home. We're not yet finished, and we have to finish this thing. We cannot pack up our bags and go home because of a terrifying demonstration of evil that happened in broad daylight that we don't know how to process. We don't need to process it. We need to process the word of God. What has God spoken? What has the word of the Lord declared? All throughout the year, every prophetic voice that I know has declared that God says that Trump is the winner. I believe with all my heart that the word that is in Revelation chapter 3 to the Church of Philadelphia is the word that God is speaking right now, because all eyes are upon Philadelphia right now to the open demonstration of the burning of our own election right in front of our eyes, where they put up cardboard boxes on the windows so that you couldn't see the cheating that was going on, that they moved in hundreds of thousands of votes in the middle of the night, that they literally filmed themselves throwing away ballots for Trump and literally writing in signatures, writing in names, doing whatever they wanted to do. And they did it in broad daylight to where, and then the press, the media literally immediately sided with them, called them righteous, called them holy, called them unstoppable, declared them the winner, while we all stood there with our hands on our mouth going, oh my, we've never seen anything like that before. So what King Jesus spoke to the Church of Philadelphia is, behold, I have given you the key of David, and I'm the one that opens a door that no man can close, and I'm the one that closes a door that no man can open, and you have a little strength, and you don't need to bail. And I am telling you prophetically that this is what God is screaming to me day and night. And I want to send out this urgent word to everybody that's a part of this podcast. If you have discredited the word of the prophets, and again, I understand that there are confusing things in it. One of the things I say all the time is just because God is speaking doesn't mean that you know it. Just because you know it doesn't mean you understand it. Just because you understand it doesn't mean you know what to do with it. Just because you know what to do with it doesn't mean you know what the outcome is going to be. And just because you know what the outcome is going to be doesn't mean that that's going to be the outcome. Like, well, then how can that be? Well, 2 Kings chapter 3 explains it perfectly. That God Almighty gave the word and the word went out, but they didn't finish. And this was exactly what God told me 5 years ago. Pray that he finishes. I want to just tell you that if you have been dismayed, if you've been shaken, if you've been demoralized, if you've been intimidated, repent and keep your post. Declare the word of God, stand with what's true, stand with what's real. And that's exactly what Jesus says to the church of Philadelphia. He says, I am the one who is true. Okay, well, he's true. He really and truly is. So how long will you halt between two opinions? Are you going to serve the prophets of Baal, which is media, or are you going to serve the Lord? That's an Elijah statement. I want to just tell you that this year has been a qualifying year, and so much the body of Jesus was absolutely disqualified from the anointing and the manifest presence of God. They have turned into Ephesian churches where literally the candlestick has been removed. What is that? It's the manifest presence of Jesus. In other words, Jesus says, you can go and do church without me. That's what you can do. And so many people, beginning in March and April, as soon as they saw that there was a pandemic, which is a demonic term, the term pandemic has to do with the god Pan that comes out of the gates of hell in Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. You don't be afraid of Pan that comes out of that hole in the ground. And if you know anything about biblical geography, if you know anything about Israel, if you know anything about Caesarea Philippi, which is a place where you go and worship Caesar, that Philip Herod actually built, that there was a place there called the Gates of Hell. And that was the place where Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And then he says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. What is that? There's a pan or a panic or a pandemic that comes out of that thing, and it will not prevail. You, whatever comes out of that gates, you're supposed to demolish it. You're not supposed to close up your church and say, well, we'll try it again next year and see if it's okay with Pan. You know what? To hell with Pan is what I have to say. And to hell with anybody and any kind of spirit that would bow its knee to that. To hell with that. And you're like, man, that's strong language. No, that's what hell is for. Hell is for the part of me that doesn't want to serve God, but wants to bow its knee to some beast. And I want to just say to you, there needs to be a belligerence in the body of King Jesus that says, we are of a different spirit. We are of a different tribe. That's who we are. And do not bow your knee to that. Yes, you have to change your wineskins. Yes, it's a different day. We've had to use different models of church this year, but we have not shut down at all. We've never shut down. During the 6 week period here in the state of Texas, where we were not allowed to have people inside the building, we had church outside and we fed 3,000 people a week, several hundred thousand pounds of food. We had to change all of our wineskins all over the world in how we actually save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking. And we became more successful in some areas than we've ever, ever, ever been. We've had to change models. Yes, yes, yes. I'm not saying that you don't have to change. No, no. This is a year that you have to change. And I get that and I understand that. But none of us went home, put ourselves in a hazmat suit, surrounded ourselves with toilet paper, and said, we're just going to give in. Okay, well, this is the second wave of that. And a lot of the body of Jesus fell out in the first wave. And now here's the second wave of that. The election has happened. And it looks like it's over, and it looks like there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, my God, stand firm and pray that he finishes. Yeah. You know, Patricia King was here last weekend, and she gave such an encouraging word that said, even if everything goes completely upside down, the people of God are still the people of God, and we still have a row to keep. And we still have to be people of peace, and we still have to be people full of love and answers and hope. And you can't give that up because of a terrifying demonstration of evil that you never imagined. Well, this is that day. And you're going to have to serve. And whom will you serve? Friends, I just want to just encourage you and just tell you, I have a lot of prophetic friends that I really respect, that have a lot of weight, that in the past week have come out on their podcast, have come out on their whatever their media platform is, because they're afraid of criticism from the body of Jesus, and it's an ill-placed criticism. It's not a good criticism. Okay, if everything doesn't happen exactly the way that you say it's going to happen, we're going to call you a false prophet and you need to get up and repent. Well, dude, you're supposed to go after things. You're supposed to declare things. And whenever it looks like it's all over with, you don't join the sons of Korah. You don't join them and attack Moses. That's not what you do. That's ridiculous. No, this is a Red Sea moment, my friends. It's a Red Sea moment. I do not know exactly how it's going to turn out. I just know what God has said. And I will not listen to the critics, and I will not listen to the media. I have completely turned off media because there's such a bad spirit in it. And the Spirit of the Lord is not in that. If I turn on the news for just a second, it's going to be for just a second to get in and to get back out. And then I go right back to Caesarea Philippi where Jesus says, now, who do you say I am? What's the word that you have to say? Friends, this is the decade of the pay, and we have to line up our mouths with God's mouth. We have to be the people that God has called us to be. And I speak peace on you in the name of King Jesus, and just tell you that it's up to you if you're stable or not. You need to have true emotional intelligence in this time that partners with the Holy Spirit that says, okay, am I happy about certain things? No. Does that mean I have to be miserable? No, it does not. You can wait and see, and you can come before the Lord, spend an hour in prayer, praying in the Holy Spirit, seeking God and asking God, God, what are you saying to me? Ask the Lord, Father, who are you to me during this hour? Who am I to you during this hour? And how can I efficiently serve you to my brothers and sisters? And fall back upon those very key fundamental principles and do not lose your faith. Don't just pack it up and go home because the opposing king, the demonic king, the king of Moab has done something terrible in your sight. Learn to be more impressed with the heart of the Father and with the presence of Jesus than you are with anything else. All right, friends, I'm going to go ahead and let you go and get about my busy day today. You have a busy day as well, and I want you to process this and think about this. And I would encourage you also to be looking up the voice of the prophets and people who have a relevant word and people who are given a right now word and hear what they have to say. Man, one of my heroes in the faith, Brother Mario Murillo, is on it right now. My good friend, Brother Sid Roth, has been putting up prophet after prophet after prophet of people who have some of the most encouraging things in the world. It is a time of warfare right now. And, you know, whenever there is a terrible, terrible demonstration of evil, a lot of times you can just easily lose your natural passions and your supernatural passions. You know, people in war zones are not out flying kites. People in war zones are not out, drinking fine wine and dancing with their brides and talking about the latest really good movie and dreaming for their place and spending time talking about what's the next level that I can do things with my kids. No, that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're trying to deal with the warfare of their hour. And the people that are successful in that and the people that make a big difference are people who are able to have a right mind. Do not lose your passion for Jesus. This is not a time where you fall out and just say, hey, I'm just going to binge on Game of Thrones, man. That's what I'm going to do. No. call out to the Lord, cry out to Him, fall in love with the Word of God like you never, ever, ever have before. Seek the Lord and you will find Him. Ask Him and He will answer. Knock, 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 and the door will be opened unto you. The key of David is real right now. It's all about Philadelphia. There was a shaking. There's been two major prophetic earthquakes that have caught my my attention here in the past 2 weeks. And one has been a 7.0 earthquake in the island of Patmos. And the island of Patmos is where the book of Revelation was written. And what does Jesus say? Let he who has an ear hear what the Spirit says to the seven churches. And then, right on the heels of that, there was an earthquake in Philadelphia. Well, what does Jesus say to the church of Philadelphia? What does he say? And it is a supernatural parallel of what's happening in our nation right now. Activate the key of David. Stand with King Jesus. Do you remember whenever David was dying, he had a son? I think his name was Adonijah, if I'm not mistaken. And again, I don't have any notes or anything. I'm just sitting here on a little stool. I just walked in and said, turn this on. I've got something to say today. And so he turned it on, and I'm just spilling out my heart to you. And Adonijah announced that he would be king. And then there was two people that showed up that spoke to him after Adonijah became the king, and Solomon was supposed to be the king. And there was Bathsheba, and she represents the bride. And then there was Nathan the prophet, and he represents the prophet. You know what? The church and the prophet and the prophetic voice in America could actually petition the king right now. And the king, who has the key of David, can say, no, he's not the king. Solomon is the king. That can still take place. Now, I want to just humbly say one more time that if that doesn't take place, man, we're going to serve God. We're going to be happy. We're going to move forward. We're going to seek the Lord. God's going to give us new strategies, and we're going to be okay. But I don't think that is definitive yet. And I know people think I'm crazy, and I have a lot of Christian friends that are very, very, very critical of anything prophetic, and they're like, are you going to repent? I will not repent for having a heart for King Jesus. I will not repent for going after the things of God. I will not repent for contending for an agenda of heaven. Like, well, you're talking about politics. I'm talking about an agenda of heaven. We do not want babies slaughtered any longer. We want to remain standing with Israel. We want to have an economy. We do want to have borders around our countries, and we do want to be protected. We want to be a sovereign nation. We do want to have freedom to be able to worship however we want to worship, whenever we want to worship. We do want to stand with children. We are not for pedophilia. We are not for child molestation. We are not for sexual trafficking. The other camp is. Make no mistake about it. These are not just geopolitical issues. These are kingdom issues. And I will not repent for standing with those things. I will not. And as a matter of fact, if you think I'm crazy now, if this goes the other way, you watch how crazy I go. So I'm bound and determined to stand with God and to not be afraid and to be brave and to be bold and to be full of the Holy Spirit and to know what God's heart is. And this is what the voice of the accusers and many of my friends have literally joined their hearts with the accuser of the brethren. And they're like, okay, well, obviously that's not God's agenda because he didn't win. You know, that's the same as saying, obviously it's God's will for that woman to be raped because she was raped. Obviously, she has some flaws. She has some sin in her life, something. That is not the heart of God, and it's not the will of God. And it's up to brave people to stand against that evil and to answer evil with the goodness of God. And one of the ways that you answer evil with the goodness of God is standing in his presence, which is the glory of God, wherever God says to Moses, I will cause my goodness to pass before you. You stand in the presence of God, and you stand with God, and you declare what God has declared. You contend for what God is fighting for, and you be a part of the remnant. That's my row. That's your row. That's what we're going to do. All right, friends, that's all the time that I have for today. Hey, man, continue to pray for me. I will continue to pray for you. Father, I thank you, Lord God Almighty, sir, that your presence is with us, that your word is true. You are faithful, and you are true, and you are the one who holds the key of David. You open a door that no man can shut, and you close a door that no man can open. You are the kingmaker, King Jesus. You are the kingmaker. And I pray, Father God, sir, for justice. I pray, Lord God Almighty, sir, for God, that you would change the momentum and cause the media to say what you say. I pray, Father God, sir, for supernatural courage and stability. Father God, sir, we repent for being unstable. We repent for being unhappy. We repent for lining up with Baal and rejecting the voice of the prophets. We repent. And Lord God Almighty, sir, we line up with you. And we love you and praise you and thank you for a response from heaven that looks like a fresh fire. And I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have a great weekend, and I'll see you out at the Prophetic Conference this weekend, or I'll see you at Open Door Church this coming Sunday. I'm going to be preaching. I'm going to be talking about servolution and be talking about a new revolution that's happening within the body of King Jesus. You're going to love it. And I will see you guys. God bless you so much. I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody. Well, hello, my friends. I think you just thought you got rid of me. Ha ha, I'm back. And I'm back for about 52 more seconds, and I have just enough time to tell you that, you know, we all need a prophetic word. We all need to hear God speak. We all need to be in alignment for our assignment, and we need to know what we're supposed to do and how we can glorify the Lord and what is His purpose for this next season. Friends, I have a prophetic word that I would love for you to view, and it's all free, and it actually has something to do with the Hebrew calendar, the year 5781. And you know what? We did a huge study on it. We looked through it, and I'm just actually sharing the word that I believe that God gave me. And I would love for you to check it out. All you have to do is go to my YouTube channel. Yeah, YouTube. And if you just type in Troy Brewer and then type in 5781, boom, it'll show up. So check me out on YouTube. Go there, subscribe to it, and I call you blessed. Get your word for the year to come.